Okay, the topic is demon possession, and it is something that the Bible talks about. From the time I started going to church from a young man, and I went to a Church of God in Christ, which is known as a charismatic church, and I would hear a lot of things about demon possession, and they would almost say it in a way that was everybody had something. They got the demon of this, they got the demon or spirit of this, and they got the spirit of that, is what they would say, which would imply that the person was being possessed, that they had something going on with them. Not really understanding it. And then the movie Exorcist came out, and I was too young at the time. I'd see it, but I eventually did see it. And I remember at the time, then that was another thing. The Catholic Church seemed like they got the, they got it on lock on what it is, and they can determine if it is and how it works. And it even got to the point where today we don't really talk about it. Either we're one extreme where we call everything demon possessed, or the other extreme, we don't hear about it. There are some ministers almost literally say, oh, it doesn't exist anymore. Nowhere in the Bible has it said that, but it's their intellect and their feelings instead of going by what the Bible says. So what is demon possession, and how does that work, and what should we know about it? Well, first of all, the Greek word it comes from means to be exorcised by a demon, even though it's spelled Damien, but it is demon, and have a be vexed with, be possessed with devils is what that means. In other words, there is some sort of lock or control they have on an individual. Okay? So demon possession is when a person is partially or completely controlled slash taken over by demon slash demons, as we're going to see. Okay? It can be one or many. And when I say partially, you have some that it can just control certain parts, and you have others where it can totally take them over, as you're about to see. Now, one thing we're not going to talk about, because one thing you're going to notice, sometimes people mix these two up, demon oppression. Okay, now, when a person is influenced by demon slash demons from the outside, it will be through other people, through situations and desires. Everyone is under demon oppression. They come in different forms and levels. In fact, we did, I think there's two. Spiritual warfare is the main sermon that actually goes on how we deal with the whole entire gambit of it. And it touches upon demon possession a little bit. But demon oppression is something that all Christians should be aware of and protected from. You look around, not necessarily. We usually lean and get other avenues to try to deal with these things. And that's why we're still affected by it while we should not be. So let's start and understand the possession part. Demons possess both Jew and Gentile. So just to let you know, it didn't just happen to the Jews. It didn't happen to believers. Can't happen. We're going to see that a little later. It shows in Mark 7, 24 through 30. It says, Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity in Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it. Yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit. One thing that kind of comes out in this is they were able to know when somebody was possessed. I think sometimes our education, not I think, in many cases, our education or worldly intelligence has really watered down and or distorted what God gives us. Okay, there's a place for it, and it is very important to have worldly intelligence, but it's not supposed to be my basis. Unfortunately, not only has it been our basis, we have allowed leaderships and those we follow to have that type of intelligence, and then they distort the Bible. But as you can see, this person, not even a Israelite, okay, it says, little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit. She knew there was something going on by a possession. It says, came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek born in Cyrene, Phoenicia. She begged, I'm sorry, Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. So she's understanding what's going on. My daughter is possessed. I don't think today, to our allowing our own sight and our own intelligence and our culture to know the difference. And we're going to talk about that. It says in verse 27, first, let the children eat all they want. We're going to talk about the story a little later, also too. So you'll hear it maybe one another time in this study. He told her, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Please understand, Jesus first, when he came in that time, was to to win the Jews. Do you understand that? His first purpose, because they were the first, they went through all that stuff on a failing case, so he came to offer the salvation first to the Jew. That's why I always say it's first the Jew, then the Gentiles, because the Jews, being that chosen people, then went through this the tremendous thing of the law, which they failed miserably. So he's giving them the opportunity. So he's basically saying, right now, I'm here just for the Jews, just for the moment. Okay, we know eventually he came to the Gentiles and everybody, but it was just for the Jews. And that's what he's trying to tell her. But look at her response. She said, first of all, the key that shows the faith is she said, yes, Lord. Why? What does that mean? She's not in any way going against what he's saying. Do you understand that? And she's recognizing him as Lord. She said, you're absolutely right. But she says, she replied, but even dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. So she, who is not an Israelite, had much more faith than the Israelites. I don't know if you've seen the one sermon I did on great faith. The two people who had great faith weren't Israelites. That's the crazy thing about it. You understand? They believed in Jesus more than the people who were taught about Jesus believed in Jesus, which is a shame, because you have in that same case today, many Christians, when the Bible tells us to do Christian things, we're doing all this other nonsense, calling it Christian. And you see people that aren't Christian sometimes exemplifying the things of Christianity. Now, that's not going to save them because they're not doing it for the right purpose. But that's a problem. Okay? And that's what we have to recognize. It says in verse 29, then he told her, for such a reply, basically from what you said, which is implying faith, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. So he didn't have to go lay hands, holy water, get other priests, put something around his neck. Now, we are going to see that they're not all this simple, but that's what happened. She went home and found her child lying on the bed, and the demon's gone. Once again, recognize the demon was gone, recognize when it was a demon in the first place. And we see how Jesus handled this, okay? It was an occurrence that they accepted as a normal thing that needed to be done away with. Now, Jesus explained some patterns of evil spirits. He kind of explained some things that happen, because I think some people say those who were possessed, once they get rid of them, are you're good to go. Well, not necessarily. In fact, you could be worse off if you're not careful. Matthew 12, 43 through 45 says, when an evil spirit comes out of a man and it goes through arid places. Now, we're going to talk about what these arid places could be. Okay, well, just give me a second. But it goes on saying seeking rest. So the demons leave, and it's implied that they don't like just being roaming around. They like to have some sort of vehicle, which is a human, to be in. You understand that? Or the ones who have done wrong, and that's we're going to talk about them later, are actually in they're locked up until judgment. So we'll see about them. And it says, and does not find it, then he says, I will return to the house I left. Okay, when it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean, and put in order. That was because it was exercised, got rid of it. The cleanliness was supposed to happen. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself. So not only is it going back, it's bringing others. And it says, and they go in and live there, and the final condition of the man is worse than the first. This is how it would be with this wicked generation. Now, he first gives us what this process, how this process works, to use it as an example of what's happening to, like he said, this wicked generation. Jesus comes, gives them everything, cleans them up, straightens them up, but then they allow even more wickedness than what they had before come in. And that's what he's implying. So the same thing. Now, I'm going to say it ahead of time right now. One thing you're going to see when we go through this doesn't necessarily tell how and why a person gets possessed. It doesn't, the Bible doesn't say it. Now, we assume sin plays a part in it, but some of these are kids. I you know what I mean? It really doesn't give that, right? That's why, again, we go to movies and people, because they played this game, because they carried this sacred rock, because they went to this sacred place. None of that's biblical, but we don't know exactly why. As we go through this, you get a chance to make your assumptions, but make sure you understand that's all they are. You're just assuming. Don't make them as if they're rule. We really don't know. Okay. Now, talking about the arid places, a hint of what the arid places are, we see in Ephesians 6:12. Remember when it tells us, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. And I always told you that's a very important part of what we have to deal with, because a lot of us deal with what we see and what the world says. In fact, we're very conditioned to deal with things down here based on the flesh. That's how you see people getting arguments. I'm not going to let nobody talk to me that way. We like to fight. I go down the list of things that we do that are fleshly, not realizing. He's saying, well, that's not your battle. You're beating up the car, not the person driving the car. And you shouldn't beat up the person driving the car. Don't get me wrong. I'm saying you're dealing with the car instead of the person driving the car. He says, but against rulers. And what these are describing are spiritual demonic forces. One's called the rulers. One's called the authorities. Okay. And then here's where it first shows against the powers of this dark world. So then you have those, and there's a way that they're traveling around in this world that we're in. And then it says, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Now, that forces of evil in the heavenly realms or in this dark world could imply, as some may call, another dimension. Because remember, there's three heavens. Okay, there's three heavens. There's the sky that we see, and that actually includes space, because you see some of the things when it speaks of the first heaven, and it either talks about birds and stuff, which we see in our atmosphere, or it talks about what they call celestial, which is planets and stuff like that. So that's counted as the first heaven. The only other one the Bible really talks about is the third heaven, too. It talks about the first heaven and the third heaven, which makes us know there's a second heaven. But we think the other second heaven is another, or what we may call a spiritual dimension, if you will. That's the place where they're floating and whatever they're doing. And that's all we know about it. I've read books, believe it or not, on what I just read: rulers, authorities, powers of this dark world, spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Interesting. I have no idea where they got their information. No idea. And they didn't always agree. So who was I supposed to follow? You understand? You read these books and you're intrigued and you come out of it. And I can assure you, many people have gone in it and they come out feeling strong because this person wrote this book and it's fascinating. And they use scripture. Yes, they did. That's how they got this. But then they start explaining things. They told me who the rulers are, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, the spiritual. The Bible doesn't. Do a deep dive. I encourage you to look deep in the Bible. It just doesn't break it down. You may go, why? Because we don't necessarily need to know the individual parts of it. We know we're protected. We know either to stay protected from it or what how that works in our lives. In other words, what we need to know about it, we know. Okay? But here we go as humans thinking, I want to know more, you know, and that's where the I told you so comes into play. But yeah, there, so be careful. You can read them and they sound interesting. I'll show you at the end of this study some things that they use in the books and where they got them from. But for the most part, be careful of those. This is going to be like heaven and hell. It's going to be more holes and stuff that's going to leave you with, well, what is this for? And how does this happen? And if he doesn't tell us, we just don't know. So we have to understand then, okay, so how then that we are just not as clear-minded to understand? This is not even a spiritual thing. It's just an understanding of things to where we allowed our intellect and culture to get rid of it. So as Christians, what are some symptoms of demon possession? First of all, they can cause a person to be violent. Now, got to be very careful with this, okay? Because you get some people that are very quick with saying these things. Matthew 8, 28 through 34, it says, when he arrived at the other side of the region of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men coming from the tombs met him. Okay, so it's showing that they're demon-possessed. And look what it says. They were so violent that no one could pass that way. What do you want with us, Son of God? So they know Christ. They know Christ. We're going to talk about that, okay? But this is important where they question what, you know, basically, why are you here? It's not our time. It says they shouted, "Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time?" Now there is those who are chained up. They all know judgment is coming. Okay? They all know judgment is coming. It gives very little on that for the most part, but it does tell us they know when that time. That's why he's saying this. Why are you here now? I mean, we're just doing our thing, what we're allowed to do, and here you are. It says, some distance from them, a large herd of pigs was feeding. The demons begged Jesus, if you drive us out, send us into the herd of pigs. Now, Jesus didn't have to do it, but he did it. He said to them, go. So they came out and went into the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and died in the water. What good was that? Don't know. You understand? And now look what the people got mad at. Those tending the pigs ran off, went into town, and reported all this, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. The whole town went out to meet Jesus. When they saw him, they pleaded with him to leave their region. Now, why? Because here they come, he comes in here, and look what you did to our pigs. That's why I said people were more bothered by Jesus removing the demons than they were by the possessed. Don't do that stuff around here. And you see people do that today. There was something I remember that I was a part of where, and it was not me even doing anything. It was just me showing something in the Bible. And when I showed them this thing in the Bible, okay, not even going over the topic itself, it was clear. I was like, this is what the Bible says about this. And I was asking them, you know, on their beliefs, can you show me where you're getting it? Then they were just like these people. They were more mad at me bringing this up. Do you get this? Right? And my only question was, well, wait a minute, but I'm showing you what the Bible says. Why don't you want to talk to me about this? Yes.
Okay.
Hey.
Hi. So I've always been confused by this. When you sent the demons into the pigs and they jumped in the water and died. But that wouldn't kill a spirit. So
But
what
now
happened?
they're back in arid places again. That's the whole reason they want to be put in something. Remember, that's they said they're roaming around looking for rest. So the first home they'd rather be in is us. Get where I'm coming from. So when they made the request to Jesus, but the pigs though reacted and they just killed themselves. Now, that's all we know from what we get here. There's like no other verses that goes, okay, let me tell you what happened to the pigs. Let me go over it. It just doesn't go deeper into that.
Okay, that's I can say. Like I was so always confused by it. I said, what was the sense of putting them in the pigs if the spirit's not going to die anyway?
And it's not about killing them because, like he said, torture. I mean, they, you know, and that torture is going to be hell because that's what the hell is made for. It's actually made for the devil and his demons, as it says.
Right.
In the Bible. So that's what they were implying. But they were basically almost saying also, we don't want to just roam around. Can you put us in something? Hey, put us in those pigs. But the pigs, you know, were like, I'm not having it. And they killed themselves. So, you know, we see that happen. So now they're back roaming around in arid places, as implied from what we already know from there. That's the best guess we have.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The other
Thank
thing
you.
I wanted to show, yep, is that so violent. Now, anybody who's worked in a mental hospital, and that's why I said I want to be very careful on this. I'm not saying all people, and the Bible is even going to show this. There is true mental illness, very true. You understand that. And you had a religious organization in the past that would call everything demonic or witchcraft, and they would kill people. And it wasn't to the extent, when you hear about those things where they burned them on the stake, that really didn't happen as much as they said. However, you still have organizations that called everything demonic, everything. And in these cases, instead of knowing the difference, because I knew a couple of people that worked in mental institutes, and they said some of these people would get this strength, and they had this mattress thing in which they would work. When a person got overboard, they would take the mattress, and they would take three or four men to kind of dive on the person with the mattress, trying not to hurt them. And they said these people would always lift up the whole entire mattress. They said they would get a strength that makes no sense. And he says, I've seen it multiple times. He said, it's not just this one time. It wasn't one of those stories. It was like, oh, no, you worked in some of those. They say it happens. So you see a lot of things in these that we now just call mental that in turn could be possession. You understand that? Once again, I can only throw could be because we've been so inundated with human logic. That is very hard for us to see when it is a spiritual reaction, when it's not. Yes.
All right. So when I worked in the mental health, one of the nurses told me years ago, I don't know how true it is. She said that some of these patients here, she said they're not mentally ill. She said they possessed by demons. They have no history of mental illness at all. But that's what she told me.
No, and you can believe that. I mean, you see it even in, like when you talk about the serial killers or people who do heinous, crazy things, and that, you know how they say they look like they have dead eyes. It's almost like they're out of control. There is no control. Do you understand that? Now, I want to be careful because are some of them just mentally ill or some of them, you know, and it's very hard because doctors still don't know the full extent of it. And now they're discovering more things that they're, you know, diagnosing. But unfortunately, they may be misdiagnosing some things that are actually demon possessions, and there could be illnesses, and that, you know, that entail causes a problem. I think there was a minister on a just on TikTok where I seen trying to exorcise a demon. And I'm telling you, I think right now we our faith and we're so lost from it. I don't think we fully understand. We're going to see how the process should work, but I think over time we've allowed the theater to get in the way of it. But this is one of those cases where they said so violent that people couldn't walk past, and the strength that they had. So that's one of the symptoms that you'll see of demon possessions. The signs we may call mental illness, as I was saying today, could be possessions along with abnormal strength. Mark 5, 2 through 8 says, when Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit, and this is the same, this is actually talking about the same one, but it goes into, it only talks about one here. So some even say this is a different story. So I think it is. I don't know. However it is, it's a story and it's telling us from God's word. It says, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in tombs and no one could bind him anymore, not even with chains. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. Now, that's superpowers. Now, I mean, once again, no way he could do that. It says, no one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. So not only was he causing problems with other people, not only couldn't you bind him, he was harming himself. That supposed home he was living in, he was hurting that. It says, when he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, what do you want with me? And this is why I think it is a separate story, because the first one was the us, and it was two men. In that case, in this case, is one man. And Jesus, son of the Most High God. Once again, they know Jesus. It says, swear to God that you won't torture me. For Jesus had said to him, come out of this man, you evil spirit. Okay? And do you notice how Jesus handled this? Okay, you can't make a movie out of that. Movie would be over in 15 minutes. Okay, you might be able to add some, you know, stretch it a little bit before they got to this point. But if this was about this man being possessed, and Jesus says, come out of this man, you evil spirit, problem solved. Okay, it's not as fantastical as we try to make it and things of that sort, but this is what happened with that. And Jesus recognized it, they recognized him. We see in this him going crazy and breaking chains. Look at what they say about it in Mark 5:15. It says, when they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by a legion of demons, which is showing multiple demons, sitting there, dressed and in his right mind. And this is why, like I said, it could sometimes be called mental illness, because what you're doing is what a person who's out of their mind will act. So there'll be very similar characteristics of a person, once again, who's not connected mentally, and with somebody who is actually possessed, and they were afraid. Okay, so they're seeing this. So that's another one of those signs. Okay.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Back when it says, wait, oh, when he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. So the demon made the man shout, or the demon had to worship God when they see him. You know what I'm saying?
They
Because it's he, then.
recognize who he had is, especially because he has the authority. You understand that? One thing you have to understand, I was going to do a sermon on this, but it's a whole lot into it. I still may do it. There's two words that are interchanged sometimes incorrectly in the Bible. And it's the word power and the word authority. Okay. And the reason why they interchange them, I think when they translated it, they sound a lot the same. I just know the one is called dunamis. The Greek word is dunamis, which means, and that's where we get dynamite from, actually. But one means I have the ability, and the other means I have the permission. Okay. And Jesus had not only the ability to destroy all these demons, but he had the permission to do it. So they knew this. Do you understand that? Okay. And the difference, as you're going to see later, why some of them are roaming around, jumping on people and possessing them and doing all this other stuff. And we're going to see later, some of them are actually in jail or in the pit there, as we're going to talk about it, because they did something that they didn't have the authority to. They had the power to do it, but not the authority to do it, if that makes sense. So when they see Jesus, it's not just worshiping him. They recognize there's nothing we can do. They're smart enough. And that's why in that one verse in James where it says demons, you say you believe in God, so do the demons, and they shudder. They know who he is, but not enough for them to reverently, whatever they would need to do. And I don't know if there's anything they could do to repent. I don't know if that's a possibility for them. But yeah, so the demon who had control of this man made this man run and kneel down and basically, first of all, recognize who he is and then plead to him, whatever they're going to plead to him.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you.
So we see that once again, that characteristics. The other thing that can happen is they can cause blindness and or being mute, which doesn't mean everybody who's blind is demon possessed and everybody who can't talk is demon possessed. What it means is there are some that are. Just in mind, Matthew 12, 22 through 23, it says, then they brought him a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute. And Jesus healed him so that he could both talk and see. All the people were astonished and said, could this be the son of David? Okay, so, and once again, they knew this because this was stuff that he was supposed to do to show them. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Psalms all pointed to Jesus. That was important. Once again, it used the word healed, which is that translation in there, and it's saying this man was demon possessed and it was causing blindness and mute. Okay, and he was freed of this. Now, some, if they just had this illness, he could still heal them from it. That's just taking away the flesh that's distorted to take away, unless it was God's will, which we see in some cases may happen. We see they also can cause paralysis. Okay. Acts 8, 4 through 8 says, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many. And many paralytics and cripples were healed. Okay, which is implying in that translation is after the demons left, then these people were healed from it. It says, so there was a great joy in the city. Just kind of gives a side thing on it. And I think in many cases, if you're like me, a lot of these, I want to hear more. What was happening? And once again, why are they possessed and other people are not? Explain the difference. And how do I know when they're sick versus when they're possessed? What we're getting here is what we got. And I still think it's our blindness that we've allowed to come into play, which makes us miss out on a lot of these things. Okay, but going on, they can cause seizures, bodily harm, deafness, and some require more to remove than others. This is what I was talking about earlier. We know the movies and you see people today try to put on shows when they say somebody's possessed and they do that whole entire thing to get rid of it and they're not all created equal. They're not all created. In fact, we're going to see a story about the sons of Sceva who tried to do it. And here's the deal. Some of them, it's implied that they were successful, not just the sons of Sceva, but they said other Jews who weren't really Christians were going out and getting rid of demons in the name of Jesus. And in some cases, it was working until they reached one. And that's where they told the story of the sons of Sceva, where they tried to do it. And we're going to see what happened to them. So keeping that in mind, once again, dealing with something that you don't understand. In Mark 9, 17 through 29, says, the one of the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. Okay, and this is where, when you read some of these, is where people start adding, they removed mute and then added other things. This person got an anger spirit, that person got a lust spirit, that person got, and you go down the list. I'm not saying that doesn't exist, but we took a license to just use this to our advantage and start claiming what spirit a person has. The problem with that is I can't find nothing that supports that necessarily. In fact, most of the things we see that people have, that like we see in Galatians, is the acts of the sinful nature. It's not taking a spirit doing it, it's them giving into their own flesh. Keep that in mind, because I think a lot of times, instead of just calling it what it really is, it's that person who's being lustful, it's that person who's being this way. We tend to just automatically give them, sign off a condition that they have. I mean, I think you see being done with children today. We give almost every child ADHD. We give every child a lot of these conditions, and it's a real condition, but you get somebody who's not. expert or an understanding on that, and they'll kind of assign it to people, you know, to make people feel good. In the same way, I think we do that spiritually. Okay, but it says who has a mute spirit, and it says whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. Which we usually see in the same sense. That's what a seizure looks like, especially when somebody has an extreme one. Okay, but the demon's doing this to him. It says it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth. Once again, you may ask, so why did he want to go into this? We don't know. You know, why would he go in just to do this to this body, to this own? It doesn't explain that. It says, so I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. So they tried, and it just wouldn't work. It says, he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long should I be with you? How long should I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him. And he fell to the ground and wallowed foaming in his mouth. So he gave him another one of those. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? He said, from childhood. You see what I'm saying? Once again, what could this, from when he was born, what could he have done? Or did his parents do? I don't know, but this is what happened to him. And it says, and often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. So it was trying to kill him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately after that, the father of the child cried out. And this is something this is going to kind of lead to where I'm talking about. Said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Now, very important statement. There was a song a group made a long time ago, but it hit me when I read this passage ages ago. But it makes sense. We sometimes stand on what we do believe, not realizing we're being canceled out by our unbelief. You may say, Pastor, what do you mean unbelief? Well, there's sections of the Bible which we're firm on, we have it, and maybe we'll speak it, and we'll say all this stuff about it, and we'll stand firm on those things. But then there's other things in the Bible, either due to lack of understanding, lack of desire, just not wanting to deal with it, we don't. That's called unbelief. Get that? So what Jesus is saying, as long as you believe, he says, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. That's the problem here, okay? And I think a lot of us have to have that prayer because there's those things. And what I think Satan has done successfully or the sinful nature has done successfully, we're so proud of our belief, we ignore our unbelief, not realizing that's canceling out a lot of things in our lives. How do you know when you have unbelief? We're going over that just in all the sermons and things of that sort. When you catch yourself not doing everything the Father tells you, okay? When you're kind of half-stepping, when you're picking and choosing flavors of Christianity. But that's very important to catch that. So he says, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. When Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him. Now look what he adds to this one, and enter him no more. Now he didn't say that in every case. Why? I don't know. You know what I mean? Could do it because he was a child. I don't know. And the Bible doesn't say why. You understand that? So he not only said for him to leave, he says, enter no more. So that this one can't come back. Because once again, with that authority, he was commanded not only to leave, but never come back. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. So shrieking loud, all this other stuff, that may be in movies, and you see the truth in that. And he became one as one dead, so that many said, he is dead. Okay? Somebody have a question? He's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast out? So he said to them, now, before I read this last part, a lot of us have NIV, and you're going to be missing something in here, and I'll explain why. It says, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. A lot of us have NIVs, and it just says prayer. And then you get the conspiracy group that will go, see, you can't read that. It's demonic, blah, blah, blah. And you see it left it out. How the Bible is put together, and there's only like two or three cases where you see this. They're put together by what's called manuscripts. What does that mean? Well, you know how we have ways of keeping things so they last. On the stuff that they wrote this stuff down didn't last. So the scribes were responsible for rewriting these. Okay, so there's a ton of biblical manuscripts out there. The whole thing that they found on the Dead Sea Scrolls was just one of the manuscripts. Okay, please understand that. So what happens is they gather all the manuscripts, and it's basically 95% the same. It's that 5% where you'll see some of the manuscripts don't have this word or don't have this thing or don't have that. And what NIV says, and if you read closely, they'll show you that. They said the ones that had didn't have it, that the majority, we didn't add it, but they'll put it in their thing. You usually see it down at the bottom. I can't say I agree or disagree with that. I'm just saying that's why, once again, I use multiple versions, especially when I'm studying or whatever. But when I'm reading, NIV is the clearest to understand. And that's why I put that out. Yes.
Hey. So hey. Is what you're saying is that there's not like the spirit that causes people to commit murder or like the spirit of Jezebel. You know what I'm saying? There's not such thing. They're just all demonic.
They are all demonic. And I do agree that some of them can cause people to kill. I'm no way am I saying that's not. I'm saying we run with it as if it is the only or the main thing, if that makes sense. Like, I'm even throw out here that when you hear people talk about the spirit of Jezebel, that comes from, is it Church of Thyatira, or it's one of the two churches which allowed a woman there whose name was Jezebel. Mm-hmm. And that, of course, the other time we heard that name is back when King Ahab was married to his wife, she was one of the most wicked people. And there was a reference on how she wore makeup. So immediately that's why you get some of them that run with it saying makeup is a sin, which the Bible doesn't say. And it puts other things on there. So instead of saying her name was just Jezebel, they said, oh, she had the spirit of Jezebel. And that's where they get that from. Bible never says spirit of Jezebel, okay, or Jezebel spirit.
Gotcha.
It's like her name was Jezebel, and she was wicked because her teachings and what she was doing, it was saying not only is she in trouble unless she repents, her followers will be. So now, can demons exist to cause these things? I fully agree, and I believe from what I'm getting out the Bible, but it's still just a belief because I don't have solid answers. A lot of serial killers are possessed, led to do these horrendous things that they do. But that's just my belief on it. What I want us to be careful of is totally taking it away from humans. Does that make
right.
sense?
Yeah, it does. Yep.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. So that, just like I said, keeping that and understanding that, because the when we talk about fruit of the spirit and we talk about the acts of the sinful nature, sometimes we miss, that's where the oppression comes up. It entices us to lean upon and do what we want to. But it's a very easy excuse when we go, well, that person has a spirit of, because now we're blaming it on the spirit. Well, no, that's just you. You have control over it. You need to cut it out. Do you understand that? And that's where we have to make sure of that. But yes, it's implied that if they got control to do the stuff that they're doing, I can't say they wouldn't kill on that. And hopefully everybody understood what I was just saying on the fasting part of this. I'm going to close on this last one, and then if we see if you have any questions. They can cause some to be crippled. Okay, Luke 13, 10 through 13 says, on a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit. Once again, we can be physically crippled, or in this case, spiritually crippled, in which it still caused the physical crippledness, but it wasn't due to a medical ailment, if you will. And it says for 18 years. Okay. Question people have asked, first of all, why did she get it? As I've been saying over and over again, I'm going to keep saying it so we understand it. We don't know. And why for so long? You understand this? I know sometimes we see people go through a trial, and we think the trial should last in our time. And that's one thing that's being taught out there that's really causing confusion with people, because we don't know the time. And yeah, there's some people going to die in their trial, because that's what God intended. And if we understand God, we'll be able to go through it and rejoice in it. But if I'm depending on my physical or mental well-being, it's the things that could pull me away from God. But that's a whole nother study. It went over and said she was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, woman, you are set free from your infirmity. Okay. He's still calling it a sickness because it is a sickness that came from a spirit. Then he put his hand on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. So now, once again, these are just hints. I know we're going to come out with a bunch of questions that I'm not going to be able to answer because the Bible is not in it. But for whatever questions you may have, you can present them now.
So, Pastor,
Yes.
the one that we just went over about him healing the woman that was crippled, how do we know that spirit was demonic versus him just showing that he has the power to heal?
Great question. Now we're going to talk about this a little later, but from what it's another implied thing. When something, as we may call evil, happens, because we're talking about authority. Remember, God rules everything. I just want to make sure, because I know some people tend to think there's good, which is God, and there's bad, which is Satan. And sometimes I remember they used to tell us when the thunder, and it was thundering today, they said, if you listen real close, you hear them fighting. Y'all do understand it's not going to be a fight because God is over everything. So now with that said, we're going to see a little later, he even controls the evil spirits. Because as Jesus put, some people were sick, and it's implied that even if they were possessed, to glorify him. So she, in her case, her answer could have been to glorify him. So like you're saying, how do we know it's an evil spirit? Because we're going to see later, God at times may even use the evil spirit for his will, because he has control over them. And remember, even when he said to Moses, he says, who makes them either speak or mute? Who makes them deaf or hear? Makes them blind or see? He says, I do. He completely owned it. In some cases, we understand. In some cases, we do not. But it's accepted that the spirit is a evil spirit. But you make a good point. You make a good point. There's just nothing I could find in the Bible that would show an angel, first of all, possessing anybody or causing anything like this to somebody. It was always an evil spirit. If you remember the story of Saul, that fits that as well. We'll talk about that a little bit.
Thank you.
So you talked about, I mean, you said you talk about oppress and possess. So can people see demons, or they can only see it if someone is possessed?
Maybe. I think some people who have discerned the gift of discerning spirit can see, and they can either see it in a person or they can see it around them. And I don't know if, I mean, how we see it, it's not really, it doesn't go into detail of how. So the answer is yes. I just don't know how. That's why some people can see it. That's why, we see all this paranormal stuff that happens and we don't fully understand it. And it's because we don't fully understand it. And I wouldn't be surprised, the ones that can't be explained are demonic activity. And some can see it, some are affected by it, so on and so forth. So especially those who have the gift of discernment, but that's as far as it goes. But I think the other side of that is because we've allowed intellectuals come into the spiritual realm. Because the spiritual realm became religious, and they overdid it. So then we brought intellectuals in, and they calmed everything down. Oh, that's just sickness. Oh, that's just this. And they started labeling things in more of an worldly, intellectual way, and they got away from the spiritual one.
So it'd have to be someone spiritually discerned that could see either the demons or just spirits.
Not only that, I just think we have to. I think right now it's even hard for those who are spiritual to really see it today, because of the fleshly conditions that we still allow in our lives. Does that make sense? So I don't think it's in the gift side of it, if you had the gift of discernment, definitely. But if you notice, people that weren't even had access to this knew the difference that my child is possessed or my child is sick. They knew the difference. I mean, in that time, they knew the difference because it wasn't, there was nothing else to influence it. I mean, we see that in today. There's a lot of stuff we do today. And this is why people, I mean, look at the thing. When we talk about hair, and I know a lot of people are like, man, when we read that verse, and that's the part I get. And that's, in fact, that's the one I was showing when I was talking to the church about that. And they told me to go away. And because my only question was, why is it saying this? And they gave me a cultural answer of, well, because back in those days, and they went through this whole entire thing. The problem I kept having with them is, but can you show me that answer in the Bible while I have this instruction here in God's word? Here I have this instruction, and all I'm asking, and am I wrong for asking it? So in the same way, we're so conditioned that you don't see people really bothered by that. Even though it's clearly a whole chapter and everything about it, it's no big deal. We do not take that serious.
So when people saw angels, I guess it's angels. in the Bible.
Yep.
So they always appeared as man, not as a spiritual figure or whatever, however you want to say it.
Oh, remember Ezekiel? Saw the wheel way up in the middle of the air. You know that song? Ezekiel saw the wheel. Okay, but anyway. But yes, no, he saw that in his real form. There was a guy, a minister online that I was listening to, and he was saying, well, those aren't really angels. Oh, no, they are. The two that we know about, that the Bible speaks of, are cherubs, which Satan was, and seraphs. Okay, and we see in Isaiah where it gives a clear description of the seraphims, and in Ezekiel where it gives a description of the cherubs. However, we do understand they can shapeshift. Why? Because that's why this is. Be careful how you treat people, because you could be entertaining angels.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions?
I'm sorry, can you tell me exactly what oppression means? I know possessed is obviously a demon took over, but exactly what is the definition of oppression?
I'm gonna give you a visual and tell me if this helps. So when a person is possessed, they have control over you. They have you tied up. Now everything, they can make you do stuff. Do you understand? They can force you to do stuff, and they have control over your arms or your whatever, and they control you. That's possession. Oppression is they're around you and they try to influence you to do something. However, they have no control over you, only what you give them. In fact, they're like a salesperson who wants you to be convinced so that you buy it. A salesperson can't go in the store and just give it to you and say, you have to buy this, and force you, and because that wouldn't be, of course, you can't do that. But when we're influenced, so they have influence over us. And that's where James 1:13, when it talks about sin, it says basically, we're tempted by the desires that battle within us. What that's basically, that's what the oppressors or the demonic oppressors do. If you want to see a perfect example of it, go back into Genesis. What Satan did with Eve was oppression. He never touched her, never forced her. He just threw some things out there, stepped back, and then her sight came into play. Did you remember that? Yeah, so that's oppression, and that's what's done to us every day. And like I said, they can use other things to make us go, oh, I didn't think about it that way, or I never seen it that way, or I never. And God purposely allows certain things to make a whole lot of sense in the world to see if we're going to allow the sense to take us away from faith.
If you're one to I guess see these spirits or just sense or feel, demons around. Does that mean you're, how do I say it? Does that mean you're,
It
I
doesn't
know
mean anything.
people.
It doesn't mean anything. I know, and some people like to add to it, and people, there are certain things that certain people are more sensitive to than others. You understand that? And it's a true thing. And I know then you have some people that label it. And the reason why I'm saying there's nothing in the Bible that say, hey, when this happens to a person, this, when this, so you'll look at it, and some people are just more sensitive, and that may also be when it comes to spiritual. I met a lot of people that have that situation in which they see people, they see things, they see, and other people are like, petrified of it. And then you have others who've never seen it, nothing even close to it, nothing even, you know what I mean? And I can't say anything about either, And then you get these, like I said, professionals that write books on it and make people think because you're this is why you can see this and why, and we let movies and all that. There's no real answer to that. Okay, but don't let nobody label anybody that may have that or may influence that. But that's still another thing that we have, and we're supposed to take that and give it to Christ. Deal with it in Christ. A perfect example, there was a lady who says she was born and she called herself a psychic. We're going to talk about that later. But in her mind, she knew it was wrong. She said, I'm a Christian. She said, the stuff that comes to me, I don't think it's from the Holy Spirit. She said, I had it when I was younger, so I ignored. That's wise. Because in other words, she's saying, I can't say it comes from God. So since it can't come from God, I'm not going to use it. However, it exists in her mind. She said there's stuff she thought and she knew and it came, and it was a thing she struggled with. But praise God, what she was saying was, but I'm going to trust God because I don't think that is. And that's an act of the flesh. And that's how the flesh tries to influence us. So I think like with talents and other things, we can't explain why some and why some cannot, but just people who are going through it, we can't label them when God hasn't.
Okay, and that doesn't necessarily mean that you're more of a risk of being possessed, right? You're just, like you said, more sensitive to seeing these things, right? Because everybody who hears of someone who can sense or see things, or they're automatically judged, like, oh my gosh, then you must be demonic, or, I don't want to go around that person. I'm not going to go to their house, right? We're just, it's just,
Nowhere in the Bible does it show. Unfortunately, we don't see in the Bible when, like I was saying earlier, it doesn't really tell us why a person gets possessed. But just like that, you see how people react, and when you react unbiblically, do you understand that? I don't like that because they can bring stuff in your house. Have you ever heard people say that? And if you got sat down with somebody and say, okay, what can they bring in your house? Help me biblically. What can they bring? What are they doing? What do they have? Where does the Bible say stay away from them because they said they can see so and so? And this is where I think we mess up because, and I bet a lot of us here are guilty of this. We have safety measures that God didn't give us, which means they're really not safe. That makes sense?
Yep, totally does.
Many people have that. You can hang as many crosses as you want on your window. And like I said, Satan will just come right through it without even opening the window. Cross is going to do nothing to him. You can hang garlic around your neck. Well, I don't know about vampires, but do you understand what I mean? So all that stuff comes into play, and you see how this stuff works. We make up this stuff, and many Christians still do it. That's why you'll see Christians wear things and do certain things. They have certain routines, not realizing if God didn't give you that, you're actually doing something outside of God and probably endangering yourself in that. So even in those cases, when we deal with something we don't understand, we leave it to God. But when you see somebody react to that, they're actually the ignorant ones.
Okay. Thank you.
And that's very important, Christians. When we don't understand, we just don't understand. That is, Sister Navia, I don't see her on, but she has a thing called the Trinity Files, the things that, you know what I mean? Or like we saw earlier, the things that are too wonderful for me. In other words, I know this exists. I know this something is real. And what some Christians have done, once again, especially the intellectuals in the church, they'll just say it doesn't happen again. Because you have some that teach tongues doesn't exist anymore, spiritual gifts doesn't exist anymore, and they use this one verse incorrectly, and now people are saying it doesn't. Then you have the other ones that go to the other extreme and say if you don't do it, then you're not saved. We keep adding and taking away from the Bible. That's called impure. So just from what Sister Dre was saying, if somebody did have something that we can't understand, and then we start saying, well, if they have that, it must mean now we're getting into slander. And how, what are you going to say to God when he goes, so where'd you get that from? And if you, well, I got it from you. Well, show me where I said it. And if you can't say it is written, now you're held accountable for spreading that nonsense that probably caused some problems, not only with that person, but with other people and how they're reacting. Please be careful. Don't know. You don't know. And leave it at that. Any other questions? Okay. Once again, make sure we check this. If you have any other that I may miss in this study concerning, I think I grabbed everything in there concerning possessions. So as we go through this, if I miss anything, please by all means bring it to my attention. But the key that I'm trying to show you here is we're going to come out of it bunch of questions. Without any answers. And in other words, what God gave us is all we need for what we need. And that's where we go, amen, and we move forward on it. So, by all means, as we go through this, take what He gives, hold on to that so you can say it is written, but be careful on some of the stuff that you have been allowing to be given to you that is not necessarily in here. All right. If there's no other questions, we can go ahead and pray out. Let's pray. Dear Most Heavenly, Most Gracious Father, thank you so much, dear Lord, for these conversations, for these times of ministry, for these times of taking in your word. Help us eliminate those things that we just don't know, that we've answered on our own, that we've allowed somebody to answer, or take it with a grain of salt to a sense we're not taking it serious unless we know it comes from you. Help us, dear God, not to be misled by how we see things or what we feel or what we've learned, what we grew up with, but just let us lean upon your word. And as your word tells us, to stay firm in that faith. dear Lord, that we may walk that way. Let us all grow in faith. We do want that understanding of how to deal with the spiritual realm that's around us and to deal with it in the right way, to stay protected from it. We thank you for the things your word does give us, and we want to make sure we lean upon that only. We thank you for all that you do, and we ask you to continue to bless everyone as we leave out here tonight, that we may have a blessed night, and that we may be a blessing to others we come in contact with throughout the rest of the week. We give you the glory, praise, and the honor, and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name, we say. Amen.
Amen.
Love you all.
Thank you. Good night, y'all.